This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Thank you so much for being here again. Welcome back to Hannah Worldwide and Friends, the podcast where traveler, experts, and adventurer share their stories. If you want to learn about what it's like living in another country, you want to experience a new culture, or you just love to travel, this podcast is for you. Or maybe you need to get out of your comfort zone, and this podcast might be the inspiration you need. You can find me on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hi everyone, please welcome with me Maike Besler from Germany. After finishing high school in 2009, Maike decided to take a gap year abroad before starting university. She went to Long Island, close to New York City, as an au pair through the agency Cultural Care Au Pair, where she learned a lot about new cultures, child care, and was able to improve her English. But what she wants me to say is, it has been 15 years, so the English level might have dropped a little bit.
It might have. I'm sure it definitely did.
Thank you so much for making time to have this interview with me, Maike.
Yes, of course. I'm very happy that you wanted me to talk about my year.
Yeah,
I'm definitely a little bit excited.
Yes, me too, because I have not had the chance to talk about the whole situation or the whole thing of being an au pair. Do you mind explaining, just for everyone who is not aware what an au pair is and what an au pair does, to just give us a short explanation of that?
I mean, the shortest explanation would be it's simply a nanny. So you want to live abroad, but this is expensive and you have to earn money somehow. So there are families that need help with their children, and you can live there and you can eat there and whatever, and you can earn money and take care of the children. And you are part of the family, which was the best thing of the whole thing, because you are a family member, you take care of the children, and the families is not only looking at you like a nanny, but like an own child, actually. It depends on your age and on the age of your host parents.
Yeah, yeah. And probably also just in general, the family you get into. And how did that start? Because we actually went to school together. And
which is so weird that we both have to talk in English together, because normally
we are both German.
Yes,
exactly. But to make it easier for the world to understand, we decided to switch to English.
Yes.
And it's our first time to actually properly have a conversation in English, right?
Yes, it is. So, what was your question?
The question is, during that school time, how did that thought come up that you wanted to go overseas, that you thought, okay, it would be cool to be abroad for a little bit? And what actually made you go with being an au pair or with that kind of option? So first, how did you even think of going abroad? And then why did you decide with that option?
MTV. So do you remember all the shows about the stars and their lifestyle in California and stuff? Yeah. And I was like binge watching it all the time. Right. And I was living in a very, very small village, like the smallest village ever. There's nothing.
Yeah.
And I always had the feeling that there has to be more for me than this nothing. I didn't even have a lot of children. I had to travel a lot to visit my friends, and I didn't really have a lot of time in big towns. And there was something that always pulled me out of this small village and all these shows, the MTV shows, I don't even remember their names, Flavor Flav and stuff like that, actually. OC California. I really wanted to live in California. That was actually my plan and my wish, to go to California and live the California dream, to be a California girl at the beach and maybe have a little love story.
All right.
And so, yes, I applied, being an au pair. So I Googled what possibilities do I have to go there. And the au pair thing was the most interesting thing for me.
Yeah.
And yes, so I decided to apply, and I was hoping to go to California because there are families that are like looking to all the au pairs applications, and then they pick you.
Yeah.
And you don't pick the family.
Right.
And it was even possible to get me to Oklahoma or Texas or something like that. So I was very afraid. And yeah, that was the beginning.
Right. So what happened? Did just no Californian family pick you, or how did it happen that you actually ended up in New York,
Long Island? There was a family from San Francisco. It was the first family, and you get an email, you have a match, and then there's like a phone call. And I told you that I was living in a very small country and with a very, very bad internet connection. So I wasn't able to look at my emails every day. And I missed the first match, actually. So I didn't respond very quickly. I had like 3 days or so and I responded, but it was too late. And I was so sad. And yeah, I was like, no, it's San Francisco. How lucky do you have to be? And I missed that. And then shortly after, there was this family from Long Island, and I never even heard of Long Island. I was like, yeah. Long Island. And then I Googled it and I saw, okay, that's close to New York. I mean, New York is cool, yeah, but it's not California, but you'll see. And then, yeah, I was talking to the family. And she was so nice. And I was like, not speaking a very good English. It was only that my school English. And then there was this woman from the USA who was talking to me on the phone. I was so excited.
Fair enough.
She was so nice. And she said, so we have malls here and you can go to New York City every weekend and you can go to parties and you can do this and then you can do that. And we have a lot of good food here. And we're all so nice. And I was like, okay. And I felt this respect that I already developed during that phone call to her, that I was okay. And yeah, so I said, yes. I was looking at all the photos that they sent me and they looked so nice, but there was one problem. There was four kids.
Wow.
Four. I mean, most of the families have one kid or two. And this family had four kids.
So definitely not just the challenge with improving your English, but to take care of four kids is a completely different story.
Yes, but I don't know. I was very into the whole New York thing.
Yeah.
Then that I said, I mean, you know what? It's children. How difficult can that be? It's fine. I have a little sister. It's fine. I can do this. So I did this.
I'm so keen on diving into that topic a little bit more later on, because I'm pretty sure how hard can it be? They will show you how hard four kids can be.
Yes, and they did.
But before we get to it, I was just wondering, there are so many different agencies out there. So what gave you the idea of going with this particular agency? And also, did you feel well looked after? And I know that they organize some catch-ups as well, so that you have kind of already people you can talk to if something is going wrong and stuff. Do you mind talking a little bit about that part?
Of course, that's fine, yes. I was Googling the whole topic and I found Cultural Care Pair. It was, I think, when I remember it right, the first company I saw, And it was very, it felt warm-hearted, the whole websites and what they did, and it was very, very structured. And I felt like very prepared to go there because you have like phone calls and a lot of things that you have to organize, and they help you with everything. So I felt very secure with them. And you have one person in your area that takes care of you and the other au pairs in your neighborhood or in your area. And they organize meetings once a month, I think it was. And my person was Lori. I remember her, and she was very nice. In Germany, the agency was always there for me. They were talking to us, and they even had former au pairs that were talking to us, and we could ask them questions.
Yeah, that's
but
cool.
in the US, I had the feeling it is a little bit different. So you go there, and then there's 1 week of au pair school. So every au pair is going there on Monday, and then you have like a college. If you want so, and then you meet all the other au pairs and you get prepared and you go to courses, and it was very cool actually. And then you get picked up from the families, and then there's nothing. So you meet your person. I met Lori, I think, the first week.
Yeah.
And she said I could always call her, and I think I could have called her, but I didn't really have the feeling that she was very into it.
Yeah. Okay.
We had meetings with her, and we were going to Chinese restaurants. We were going to Hooters once, when I remember it right.
Okay.
We were going bowling and ice hockey and stuff like that. It was nice.
Yeah.
It was okay, but it was not. I didn't feel very very watched from her.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I didn't need to, because my family was very experienced. I wasn't the first au pair. So I had my host mom with questions and stuff, and she really took care of everything. So I'm not sure if it was me or if it was the person that was not very available for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's good to know, because I guess a lot of young people think about that, taking a gap year and also choosing the whole au pair thing, because you are in a family, they look after you, you are not just on your own, you have a little
yes.
bit of money, and you are of course working. How much time do you spend with the family and the kids, and how much time do you actually get to just spend with friends when you make some friends, or to go out and to do your own thing pretty much?
Before we go there, we should go one step back to your former question, because I remember
yes.
some friends, some au pairs that were not very happy with their families, because I was very lucky with my family.
Yeah.
It was a lot, a lot of children, but I was very happy. They were so warm-hearted people. And I knew girls that were not very happy with their families because they didn't really take good care of them, and they and the agency really was looking after them and tried to get them to other families and take
right,
care
yeah.
of them. So there were some situations where the agency really did a very good job. So
right, so it's
so you have the possibility to switch your family if there's something you're not feeling
yeah.
comfortable with or something.
That's very good. Very good to know as
yes.
well, because I'm pretty sure, even though you had like the first call, you never really know how the family is treating you.
Yes. Yes.
Unless you're there. And so did you have any more details on how they went about the whole, okay, I'm not happy with it, the family is not treating me right? Were they trying to first find out what's going on and try to fix it first? Or were they
yes.
fully believing you that it's just impossible to stay there and just try to find a new family straight away?
I had a girl, and I was so jealous of her because she only had one child.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a lot of free time.
Yeah.
But she was so unhappy because her family didn't treat her very well. They didn't really take care of her or her questions. She felt very lonely.
Yeah.
And she was talking to the agency a lot. So the agency contacted the family and was talking to them, and they tried to do better. And they were meeting with them until she said, no, I'm really uncomfortable. I really want to switch the family. And then she switched with the family and she wasn't happy again. And
oh,
then
yeah.
She flew home. Yes. But they yeah. come home to you. They talk to the family. So they do everything they can to
yeah.
fix it
yeah.
and then look for another family for you.
Yeah.
Which That's... doesn't always work.
Yeah, obviously.
Sometimes they don't find someone for you and then you have to go home, which is unfortunate, but
yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Definitely. And you are also paying for this experience, right?
Yes, you are. You have to pay the insurances,
yeah,
the flight, and a fee for the agency. I don't remember the amount. It was okay. It was not cheap, but it was okay. And
yeah,
my parents did it for me. And it was okay. No, it was really, it was not that expensive.
Yeah, and I'm sure the prices would have changed so much.
I'm sure, yes.
So
yes.
It's
Of course.
No problem that you don't have the data anymore.
No, but I could figure it out probably if I ask my mom. Your second question with the free time.
Yes.
My host mom really, it was really like a job. So I had a little notebook. And there were my times. My times were in the morning from 7 to like 10 in the morning. So I had to prepare the children for the buses and for school, get them breakfast and help them get their stuff together, get them to school or to the bus. And then I had a little free time and did the laundry from the children or something, clean something in the house, which is not actually what you have to do, because you have to do the children's stuff and you don't have to clean the house, but
okay.
you have to clean something for the children, like doing the beds and their bathrooms. They had an own bathroom for themselves. And I had to clean that every day because my host mom was a very, very extra clean person.
Wow.
And so I had to do this in the mornings. Then I had a little free time during lunch. And then when the kids came back, I think it was like 2 p.m., 3 p.m., they came back. I picked them up from school or from the bus. Then we did the homework together. We played together. During the vacation, we were playing. We were going to the playgrounds. And then I think I had to do this until dinner, like 5 or 6. Yes. And then I was off. I had free time and I could totally do my own thing. I had a curfew, the curfew that you have to go home to a special time.
Yeah.
Actually, it was for the car. I had my own car, which I could borrow or get the children, pick them up from school and stuff. And I could use it for my whatever free time.
Yeah.
And
nice.
The curfew was 9 p.m. for the car. If I wanted to stay out longer, I couldn't use the car.
Right. Interesting.
Yes. And then the weekends, mostly I was off. And there was one Saturday in the month or two, I guess, that my host parents wanted to have a date night, which is actually very cute.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I had the children Saturday night twice a month or once a month. I don't remember it. And then, we were watching TV, having dinner and stuff. That was very nice.
Oh, that sounds really sweet.
Yes, it is. And if I did a very good job, my host mom said sometimes, oh, you're off now. It's fine. You can go do whatever. Or she gave me an extra $20 or $50 when I did a really good job.
Yeah.
And
Oh, that sounds like a really great experience.
Yes, it was.
So how did your free time go? Did you find people? Did you make friends? Did you end up going partying? And also, I mean, I know the answer of this question, but did you find your romance?
Okay, so where do I start? With the last question, the romance, unfortunately, I found my romance right before I left Germany. I think it was like 4 weeks before I went to the USA. I fell in love. with someone, which was very hard. And then I left, but we did it. We did the year. We're not together anymore, but that's a different question. But yeah, I was not single in the USA, which was okay. It was very hard for both of us to have like a far distance relationship.
Yeah.
But we Skyped every day, and he came to visit me, and it was okay. We did it, and it was an interesting experience. But I met a lot of guys. I didn't cheat on him, but there were a lot of guys. We met partying. I met other au pairs from the agency. The agency helps you to get to know other people in your area, which is very cool. And right in the beginning, there was an au pair in my neighborhood, which my host parents, how did you say, which my host, they said, we know an au pair and you can go say hi.
They kind of set you up with
they connected us. They connected us, yes. And yeah, she left, and I think I came in August and she left in September, which was very unfortunate. And then right after, I met a girl. Her name was Justine, and I met her, and she became my best friend there ever. And we were like best friends there. She was from Germany also, and she was not far away from me. She was right around the corner, actually. And we spent every day with each other, really every day. And we spent the whole year together there. We went we were going out. We were going to New York City. Of course, with a lot of party, it was very cool because partying in the USA is a lot different from the parties we went to after school or during school. If you remember, like we had two party houses,
discos,
and it was like every time the same people, and in New York City, there's the whole city is a party, actually. Yeah. And yeah, that was very cool. We were living very dangerously, I think, because we were meeting people, we were drunk, and we were going with them and by car. And I don't know. I don't even remember every single one, but we had our bars, and then we were going to the bars every Friday, and they were the same people from New York City. And it was very cool. It was like in the movies. So it's Friday night and we meet each other and having beer together and then go our ways.
Yeah.
And we had pizza in the middle of the night and we went back with the train. It was very cool.
A very good young person experience as well. First time.
Yes, and meeting a lot of very spooky people too.
Wow. Yeah. I bet.
Yes.
Definitely more people than in your village or in our small town.
Of course.
Yes. Oh, God. Do you have one particular story which you want to share, which was like an encounter where you say like, oh, I'm glad that I made my way out of it?
It's a very spooky story. And Justine and I are always talking about this one situation.
Oh.
We were going back from a party in the middle of the night, and our train station to our home was, you know, the village or the town there is not very safe.
Mm.
And we were going there and get cabs to go home. But on that train station, there were some creepy people around. But we were always lucky. And then that one night, there was a guy in the train. He was very tall and he was all in black and had a black head. And we were talking and then somehow he was talking to us in German. And we were like, okay. And he was a very, very spooky creature. He was a very, very tall guy. And we didn't recognize him until then. But he was so tall that we actually should have recognized him.
And
then he was like, oh, hey, girls, you're from Germany. That's so cool. Me too. Where do you have to go out? And we were like, why in Dench? And he said like, I'm coming with you. This is where I have to go out too. And then we said, are you living there? Yeah, I live there. And then we were going out of the train and he came with us. And he said, I take care of you guys until your cab is coming. And we said, like, no, it's fine. And here, never, something happened to us, never. And then he was like, no, I'm taking care of you guys. He was very tall, like very tall.
You really emphasize on that.
And then there was a guy, a very creepy guy. And he was like he was going around us and watching us and coming very close. And this tall guy was standing in front of us all the time. And he said, go, what do you want from the girls? And he seemed to be on drugs or drunk, I don't know, but he was very creepy and wanted to go to us. And he wanted to go through the guy, but the guy wasn't letting him pass to us.
Yeah.
And then he said, go now. And then he waited until our cab was coming. He said, go in the cab. And we were going in our cab to go home. We never saw him again. It was really creepy. So he was protecting us, and there was never ever happened something to us on that station, but that night. And then there was this guy that suddenly came out of nothing, all in black clothes with a hat, and protecting us.
Oh,
speaking
wow.
German and speaking like no one ever got out of Wyandanch. And then he had to get out there. That was very spooky. Until
yeah,
today,
yeah.
We're not sure if he was a real guy or if he was some protector.
He was the angel.
Yeah.
And you both just saw him and then he was gone. Wow, that's really giving me some goosebumps.
Yeah, me too. Every time I talk about it.
Especially, I thought the guy in the black would have been the bad guy, but he was like the knight
he was the good
in the
one.
Shining armor. Yeah.
Yes, he was. And we were like, he's so creepy. What is he going to do with us? Oh my gosh. No, he was protecting us.
Wow.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. I think that's a really encouraging story. Especially with another creepy guy. And I'm pretty sure there are lots of people out there, especially at night, might being drunk or having, might be on drugs or anything else. So you never really know who you encounter and what their intentions are. So it's good to just be safe, take care of each other. Definitely not just go by yourself. Always be
yes.
together with someone. But of course, if you are two young girls, sometimes it's not enough to just be two of you. So great that you had someone who looked after you pretty much.
Yes. And I mean, we were like 18, 19 years old. So we were like, no, we're old enough and we can take care of ourselves. But we did so many dumb things. So,
as you do when you're young, yeah.
Yes, getting drunk and getting in the car of a stranger to drive through New York City. And I'm not even sure if he was drunk too or if he took some pills. I'm not sure. I don't even remember, but it was cool. And we were like, oh, we're in New York City. That was pretty dumb.
Yeah.
It was funny and nothing happened. Thank God.
Luckily.
Yes, but it was dumb. And once I found an iPhone, there was at that time the iPhones came out.
Right.
And I found an iPhone in a club. It was my first iPhone. I kept it. Yeah. That's what I did.
Oh my God. Okay. So from the really innocent village, small city girl, to the big city girl who is doing naughty things herself.
Yes, I mean, I was out of money and it was a club where very rich people were partying. Was it even the Trump Tower? I don't remember. I was partying in the Trump Tower once.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yes, and I thought like all the people here are very rich and I'm so lucky that I can be here. And so I kept it. I was a poor girl.
Okay, disclaimer for everyone who is listening. Those are
don't
not-
do this. Don't do this.
Not advice.
I did it and it was... No.
Yeah. You should not listen to Mikey on what to do right now.
No, I'm older now and now I know that it was wrong. But it was so cool that I found it.
So, Do you want to tell us a little bit more about how it was to be part of that family and also how it was to take care of four children? As we talked about before, you thought, how hard can it be? So please tell us, how hard is it?
It's very hard. But the harder it got, the more motivated I became. The first day my host mom picked me up from the au pair school, I was very sad. I was missing my family, I was missing my friends, and I was like, oh my gosh, what did you do? I felt very lonely, and she gave me the space, and it was like a complete culture shock. It was, they were Jewish and very Orthodox. And the first day I was crying a lot because I was like, okay, you are so lonely here and the people are very different than you are. And they had all this religious stuff in there, and we had the prayers at night, which was actually very interesting later on. But at the first night, it was a Friday, and they had this, I don't remember the name, what Jewish people do on Fridays, but they pray, they do a light, they light a candle, and then you can make a wish, and then they the prayers and a very nice dinner. And it was too much for me. I had a jet lag, and I was very sad. But the second day, she took me to the mall, and we got to know each other, and she did many things with me. And I was very lucky to have my family because they took me out to dinner. Yeah. They took me to family trips. I remember a camping situation, and we were going to Philadelphia, and they took me, and we all had like a very big tent, and there was a fire. How do you say a Lagerfeuer?
A bonfire.
All right, with the typical marshmallows and chocolate.
Stuff.
Yes, it was very cool, and they really included me in the family. They were very outgoing and extroverts, and they got me, and so I became a family member. It was so nice. It was hard too because I had four children, as I mentioned.
Yeah.
And the youngest one was five, and she was a little diva. Then there was an 8-year-old. He was a very quiet person.
Yeah.
Then there was a 10-year-old. He was a very, very loud, extrovert, crazy person who was really, really getting on my nerves, but on purpose, because he wanted to test me all the time.
Yeah.
And wanted to show me, you're not my mom, you're not my boss, I'm my own boss. And then there was a 12-year-old girl. And she was so sweet. She was like very, she was learning all the time, and she was very friendly. And she was really my friend at that time, even though she was 12 and I was 18. the little one was always crying and always trying to be mean to me. And I was 18 years old. You don't know that kids are like that at that age. And I was like, I hate you so much. You're such a mean little person. And she was the one who was crying the most when I left at the
end. Of course.
So, yes, we were like, I was her nanny, and we were spending so much time together. And the 10-year-old who once spit on me, I remember that. Yes, he did. And he was so fresh. he was like, you're not my friend, you're not my mom, you're nothing to me. And I was like, okay, so what? And then I started talking to him about girls.
Oh.
Because I heard that he was talking about girls with his friend. And so we started to connect through girl stories. And he asked me a lot of questions. And we became very good friends. And I remember a situation when I was out with a car. And there was a misunderstanding. I thought that I asked my host mom if I could take the car, but she didn't really recognize it. So she was like, she took the car and she didn't ask. And she was so angry. She was so pissed. And then I got a text message from the 10-year-old. He said, be careful when you go home. Mom is so pissed and I'm trying
Oh, no.
everything, but be careful. So he was so sweet. He was connecting with me at that time and we became friends. And I remember that all the children had like the same PJs, the one, one clothes,
The
one
onesie.
with a zip. Yes, the onesies with the very, very funny symbols on it. The girls had green ones with what is Faultier?
Oh, I actually don't know.
You know, from Ice Age.
Sit from Ice Age,
yeah. Yes. And the guys had like footballs and it looked so comfy. And we did a movie night and I was so jealous. I was like, you guys, you have so cool stuff. And then my host mom, on the next day, she went to Woolworths and got me the exact same thing that the girls had. So we all had the same PJs
That's
for
so
the night.
cute.
Yes, it was. And every time I had something special that I wanted or wish, they did everything. And my family visited me and my host mom came and got bagels for all of us. And she was so sweet. She was a very strict person. So she wanted everything to be very clean and she had a plan and was very structured. So it was easy to piss her off, actually. But if you were honest, she was the most friendly, heartwarming person. And she tried everything to make everything possible for you. And she still does. I just visited them in November. Everyone, they're grown ups now, which is so weird. When I go there and I leave the train station and the kids pick me up with a car. This is so weird.
Yeah.
And the oldest one is a doctor now. And the 10-year-old is a therapist, psychotherapist right now. Then there's a nurse and the smallest one is becoming a teacher. And my best friend came with me and they did everything for us and a very big dinner and they gave us a lot of money for the train and it was too much. And she was looking up some tickets for museums for us. They are still so nice and so interested in my life. And this is just so cool to have people in the world that are still there for you and that are still friends with you. And I asked the oldest one, the 10-year-old, the fresh one, why did you became friends with me? And he said, I don't know, I just respected you and you were so cool and one day I decided to like you. That was so cool. We were like buddies now. And I was the nanny and but somehow the sister, the big sister.
Yeah. That's so cool. Nice.
Yeah, and we had a like a very big pool for the whole area. So yeah, that was a pool club, I think it was called. And all the neighbors that paid an amount of money could go there, and we went there together. And it was so nice, even in my free time.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's such a beautiful story on an au pair gap year going right. And
yes,
I've actually met a friend here in New Zealand on my first flight over to New Zealand, and she also did an au pair. She was 20 at that time, also from Germany. And I even met her host family. They had two kids, super sweet. And the parents even were allowing me to stay over a couple of times. And just when we wanted to go out in Auckland one time, we literally just went out once. But she was telling us, just be careful with the boys. And she was also like offering us some shoes of hers, like just so nice. And I think she is still a little bit in contact with them as well, because it's really an experience for life, isn't it? Like you stay in touch and
totally.
Yeah.
And even if it's once a year that you say hi or you just say happy birthday or Merry Christmas. I mean, they wish me a Merry Christmas even though they celebrate Hanukkah.
Yeah.
So it's so sweet.
That's awesome.
But I have to say, my birthday was a little bit weird. I mean, they had presents for me and stuff, but it was weird not to have my friends over, not to have my family over at Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas was hard because they celebrated Hanukkah. It was 8 days and they have a little bit of decoration, but no Christmas tree and no Christmas decoration. But my friend's host family was celebrating it a lot. So, and they knew that I had a Jewish family, and they said, you can come over to us Christmas night. And the next day, the 25th, I think, is the whole Christmas celebrating day.
Yeah, yeah.
I was able to go to them and celebrate with them. So they are all very heartwarming and friendly and open. And even yeah. though I wasn't their au pair,
yeah.
they liked me and they invited me. And that was so beautiful, really. Like it's not a lot of families here that I know that are so open as yeah. this family are.
Families yeah. are. Yeah. And do you agree on that the whole system of having an au pair, I think overseas is a little bit more common than for us, or is it just because in the area we grew up, we didn't really experience it?
No, I think this is nothing that a lot of German people do.
Yeah, not really, right?
Not really. Maybe very, very, very rich and open people
yeah.
that are open for different cultures, but I don't know one person.
Yeah, me neither. Not one who would even consider having an au pair. Yeah, same.
Yeah. And most families are a little bit older
yeah.
because I experienced some young families that have like very little children or babies, where the women are becoming jealous of the au pairs. I really know stories about girls that are now married to their host dads.
that
happens too. And even the host dad of my friend, he was nice and he wouldn't have cheated on this very beautiful woman. Really, like his wife was so beautiful. she still is beautiful. But when he was drinking one or two beers, he was a little bit flirty, and she saw that, and she wasn't amused.
Yeah, yeah. Fair but enough.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. That's
wow.
It. And he was always like, I'm much cooler than your host dad is, right? And I was like, yeah, but my host dad, such a nice person. He would never say, oh, hello, girls, can we drink together?
Oh, my God,
I like my host dad a little bit more.
Yeah, you like
I felt
your
more
boundaries.
Comfortable.
Yes.
I felt more comfortable with him.
Yeah.
And he was like the finance guy who was very nice all the time. And not the I'm so cool guy.
Yeah. Especially at that time when you're so young, you are not looking necessarily for like, you're looking for a family in that moment and for a good time.
Yes.
You don't necessarily want to have someone who wants to, you know, hit on you, especially as your host dad. I mean, if that's kind of what you're into, as you said, some are even married to their host dads now.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah, that's actually crazy. But I'm hoping that everyone who is listening is not thinking that's the way to go about it, or that's how you meet your next husband.
You shouldn't do this. The kids will hate you.
Oh, yeah. Forever, I'm sure. You mentioned some cultural differences since they were Jewish and they were celebrating different occasions and they had different things they were doing. So do you remember any other moments where you learned something new about a new culture while you were there?
The Jewish culture or the American culture?
Both. Whatever you learned.
The food culture is crazy. I came into that house and there was like food everywhere all the time. They were never out of food and it was so much food. I mean, they had a very big refrigerator and like very big Schränke.
Cupboards and shelves.
Where they have like extra food in there. And the Jewish people do have two dishwashers.
Okay.
Two types of dishes.
Yeah.
One dish is for meat.
Yeah.
And the other type of dish is for dairy products. Because you can't have that together. You have to decide in the morning if you eat dairy or if you eat meat. So if you eat meat, you have to, that you cannot have any dairy food on that day.
Wow, interesting.
It can't even, the dairy food can touch the meat dish and the meat dishwasher. There are two dishwashers.
Wow.
What?
Oh, yeah.
It was interesting, but you get used to it. And I brought them a host present. I brought them chocolate from Germany, and they were like, oh, this is so nice, but we have to get this in the garage because it's not kosher, because they only eat kosher food. And one day they asked me to cook for them a very typical German food. So I did red cabbage and potatoes.
Right.
And I had to go shopping, and I had to go and look for kosher beverages and kosher red cabbage and kosher potatoes and kosher meat, and everything had to be kosher.
Yeah.
That was very hard, but you get used to it and you have to learn it. And once they were all sick, so sometimes you have that everyone is having a cold.
Yeah.
And my host mom was very like, what is happening? Everyone is sick, and I don't know what's happening. So she was calling the rabbi to watch all the little from the Bible. You know, they have little pieces of the Bible at the doors.
Oh, yeah.
It's like very holy. And he removed every piece from the Bible to look if there's a hole in there or something broke. So they got new ones because they thought that something is broken, and the whole family got sick because of that.
Oh, right. Okay. That's very
interesting. And I was like, guys, it's winter. Of course you guys are sick.
And especially, of course, once two of you have it, the rest might get sick for sure.
Yes. And and then I had a lot of experiences where American people thought that we in Germany don't have a clue of anything. My children asked me if we in Germany, if we know how to peel eggs, boiled eggs, hard-boiled eggs. And I thought it was a joke. And they said, no, I don't know if you have eggs in Germany.
Okay.
And I said, yes, you break it and then you peel it off. No, 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 you do it like that and then you do this. And I said, okay. They asked me if we have bicycles.
Oh.
Grown-ups asked me if we still have computer games where we shoot Jews.
Oh.
Yes, that was something that was very weird for me, because a lot of people do not understand that things in Germany changed.
Yeah.
I met a guy who said, I think everything besides the USA is a third world country. So sorry, I don't know what you guys have in Germany and whatnot.
Oh.
Yes, but a very interesting thing was Catholic people asked me if we still hate Jewish people in Germany. And my Jewish family not even asked that once, because they knew that it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
They were much more educated in history than many, many other Americans.
Wow. That's interesting. I mean, it's 15 years ago, but still, it's like...
I was shocked.
Yeah. I have to say, a lot of people here are very interested in, you know, how some countries are not too open with their history and they try to hide certain parts.
Yes.
And of course, that happens everywhere, but they ask me how openly we talk about what happened. And I said, well, at school, we learn a lot about it because we want to make sure it doesn't happen again. We even go to concentration camps and we look at it and we learn about it. And we get taught the horrible things, like what we get taught, what happened, like all these horrible things. And to avoid it, to have empathy, to understand how horrible it was. And most people assume that our country is trying to hide it because it's so bad that they think we might not want to teach our next generation about it, which I'm so glad that we actually do the opposite. We learn everything about it to not have that ever happen again, even though obviously doesn't always work. There's still a lot of people who are having weird ideas, but that's a different story and you can't always prevent that from happening. But yeah, it's very interesting that a lot of people still associate Germans constantly with their history. I mean, in the big picture, it's not that long ago. I do understand that. But in the time we are living in, it's a long time ago. So for us as a new generation, it's nothing we want to...
If you look at some TV shows, they still make fun of... If they make fun of Germans, they are always Bavarians.
Yeah, yeah.
And Nazis. That's what it is. We're Bavarians and we're Nazis.
Yeah,
if they make fun of us. And this is still something that always comes to Germans. It comes back to us. So people might not see what we do against that, but they see what happened, but not what we're doing against it today.
Yes, yes, that's true. Which is like, fair enough. How should they know? But it's good that people are open. People actually ask questions sometimes. It would be nice to have like that open conversation without assuming things and being judgmental and just be curious, right? Just say like, hey, can you just tell me how it is? Because I have no idea. So that we learn from each other, which is really cool.
Yeah, I think it's a question of your type of education. Like it is here, it is there. My host family, I mean, they were Jewish people or there are Jewish people, so they could have said, no, not a German girl here for us, thank you. But they are very educated and they are very open and interested in history. So they do know that this is a long time ago and that we moved on. And some people that are like interested in partying and stuff and not a university or very good education, they ask me if we have bikes in Germany. I mean,
But at least you could teach them something new.
I tried, but you know, I don't think that they were interested in my stories, how it really is.
What was, in your opinion, looking back, the hardest bit of doing that 1 year abroad?
The hardest?
Yes.
Leaving my friends and my boyfriend. Back in Germany, that was very hard. I felt very lonely, as I said, in the beginning, at the first day.
Yeah.
It was very hard for me, or my birthday, or when my friend Justine was on vacation with her family. I was not alone because my family was there and I had some other friends too. But that was the time when I felt very lonely, or when my friends had parties and we were catching up, and they said we had a party here and we did this and we did that. And that was when I felt very sad because I missed them a lot. I was very young and having four children who are very, very intelligent persons. And then you have your host mom who is very strict. Sometimes I felt like I was not free enough, that I had too many boundaries.
Yeah.
But when I look at it now, I was happy that it was like that and not like other au pairs who had host parents who didn't take care or didn't care at all what they did.
Yeah.
Because most of them don't have any contact to their host families today.
Right.
And I do. So today I know that it is good what they did. I was 18 years old. I wasn't a grown up person. And they took care of me and that was good because I was a child. So looking at it now, it was good. But back then I wanted to be free and I wanted to drink. It's not easy to party there with 18 because you have to be 21 to be able to go to a club or to drink. We had our tricks. It was not easy. And having my parents there was very hard because my parents do not speak English. And being in the US is a lot of organization.
Yeah.
And that was very hard. That was a very big cultural shock for them, even more than for me. Bringing the cultures together was not easy. But the most difficult thing for me was my relationship in Germany, because I missed him a lot. We were together only 4 weeks, and I missed him every day and every day more. And that was very hard, because I was a little bit jealous, and he said, "I'm here partying and partying there," and I was partying in New York, I know, but I didn't know what he was doing there. And if you are in love for like 4 weeks, you want to spend every day with that person, and I wasn't able to do this, and we had only Skype, and that was very hard. And sometimes the moods of the children, that was not easy. They were like very giving me hard times. I remember the one night I was all by myself with the youngest one. And in Germany, it's called Nachtschreck. It's a night scare or something, I think it's called, when children wake up in the middle of the night and scream and cry, but they're actually sleeping. You can talk to them. And it was, I think, it was 11 p.m., and I was going to bed and I heard her scream. I was going up. My host parents were not home, and she was crying and she was moving, and I couldn't calm her down.
Yeah.
Wow. And I didn't know what to do, and I couldn't talk to her. I mean, I was talking to her, but there was no response.
Yeah.
Her eyes were open, but she wasn't looking at me. She was screaming.
Oh, God.
And I was calling. I was totally in shock with my 18 years. I was all by myself, and I was calling my host mom, and I said, I have no idea. She's screaming all the time. And she was like, "Oh, I know. Okay, so I'm coming home." Like 10 minutes later, she was there, and she knew what to do. And she said, "That's fine. It's a night scare. And sometimes children do that." And I was like, "Really? Like, I thought the devil was like, was."
Oh, my God.
Really, that was hard. And then I remember one more story. I was with my children alone, and my host mom said, "I won't be home before 4 o'clock at night, because I have this and that." And my host dad wouldn't come home before 10 or 11. And we were watching a movie, and then we heard the garage was opening. It was like 7 at night. And I was like, "Who could that be? Your mom's not coming home until 4, and your dad is not coming home until 11. And they were all scared, 4 children, and then there was me. And I said, "Okay, guys, let's go upstairs in the bathroom. We have to lock ourselves and like call the police." I thought it was a robber or something. And we were going upstairs. The children were crying. They were frightened. Me too.
Oh, my God.
I was almost calling the police. And the dog was still downstairs. And then the door was opening. And I was like, "Oh, my gosh, I'm dying." And then it was my host dad. He came home early. But he just decided not to tell us. And he was like, "Oh, hey, check us." That was the name of the dog. And we were like, "Oh, my gosh." That was the most scary thing I've ever experienced there. Because I was like, it's not possible that he's going to be home earlier. He would have called.
I just forgot it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I can only imagine, especially if you're also responsible for 4 kids, you kind of, and you are a kid yourself. It's like, what are you going to do if it's like,
It was so cute. They took some knives. I was like, "Okay, when they come in here, we all just have to go punch them." And so what do?
Yeah.
You lock the doors and hope that the police is going to be there.
Well done, though. Like, I think you did the right thing to evacuate, to help the children get into a safe space. And luckily nothing happened, though. And on the opposite, like, what was your best experience during that time?
Oh, I was seeing some stars, actually. That was very cool. I was seeing Taylor Swift practicing for her, what was it, MTV Music Award performance, I
Wow.
think, yeah. And I saw her. I saw Nicole Kidman. We saw 50 Cent, but I'm not sure if it was during that year or if it was afterwards. And I saw Germany's Next Top Model, Sarah Nuro. Do you remember her?
I do remember,
Yeah.
yes. And I
She
remember
won.
your photo, I think.
Yes, she won. And I saw her there. And
Yeah.
She didn't know that I was talking German. So she was like, oh, I wanted to eat now, but okay, we can make a photo. So, okay.
Oh, no.
But all in all, the most beautiful experience was actually how the family and I grew together, like
Yeah.
being a family member, actually.
Yeah.
There was a process, and I think the process, the end of the process and the result is actually the most beautiful thing
Yeah.
that happened. And when my boyfriend came to visit me, I think we had 9 days. That was
Yeah.
pretty cool. We stayed in the city all the time. Yeah, and getting to know New York City so well. It's the most beautiful
Yeah.
city in the world, and it will always
Yeah.
be.
I actually have to say I've been 3 times now. Yeah. And I always loved it as well for some reason. I'm not a big city girl at all, but I always really loved it. So we'll definitely go again. But first off, I want to see other places first. So, but definitely maybe we even go together one day.
I hope so. I would always go back. It's the New York spirit, but it's
Yes.
so expensive. I mean, it was expensive back then, but right now
Crazy, yeah.
it's really crazy. Yes, it's very expensive.
So for everyone who's listening, who's interested in it, what advice would you give a person? Because obviously it's not just for young women, but what would you give as an advice for someone who is considering doing it?
You have to know that it's not only free time, you have to work there and you have a very big responsibility. You will grow, you will really grow and develop there. But if you are open for different ways of living, for different cultures, you will have a very good time. And if you are open for your family, if you are ready to get a family, or to become a family member and not just a nanny, I think that's very important. If you see yourself as a member, you will get a very you will become a very cool USA girl or boy or whatever, and it will be an awesome year. And be open for friends. Be open for friends there, but also au pair friends.
Yeah.
And always be transparent. Can you say that?
Yes.
Always,
yes.
always, yeah. Talk to your company, talk to your host parents. If you feel uncomfortable, because you will feel uncomfortable, you will be homesick.
Yeah.
But there's always people that will help you and you will get an amazing year.
Yay.
I did.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Mikey, A, for your advice, and B, for taking the time to talk to me today. And to
thanks for having me.
Very welcome. I was waiting for that for a bit. So finally made it.
Sorry.
Honestly, it's just great to be able to, even though it's 15 years ago, to still talk about an experience, which is still a thing today. So it's still, there are still au pairs going overseas and having like the process itself has not changed much. So it's something which is super interesting, especially for young people because they have support and help and are not alone. And so thank you so much to give like that insight of this whole experience from your perspective.
You're very welcome.
All right, everyone who is listening, I hope you enjoyed this episode and I hope I hear you next time. Bye bye.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.